Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I had a when I came to Christ, I had an astrophysicist try to explain to me what time was like in the kingdom, in heaven to come. And he said, you know, there'll be multiple dimensions of time, which means you can have a one-on-one conversation with as many people as you want simultaneously. That's hard to get your head around that. That we can all be connected simultaneously in the kingdom. But that's, maybe that's a picture.
You think this is like hurting?
Yeah, right. So let's open our time. Let's bring the Lord into our time. So Jesus, we do. We consecrate these final hours, the words that you will speak, and just what you have set in our hearts, this integration of our whole being, of these broken places that would be integrated so that we could be whole people, more like Jesus every day. Jesus, that would come. And let the transformation with the work you're doing in each of us, in our marriages, in us individually, let it continue. We bind all distraction from the outside world. And we pray that the work that you're doing in each of us, that transformative work, that we take it to the obscure places of the world where you take us, where you take each of us to bring your kingdom. So Jesus, center us again. We center ourselves in you this morning. We say yes to you. So come, Jesus, come. Amen. You know, I've been accused of being a man of few words. And so in my time with you, I've prayed to God, God, give me the words that would give you a picture of what you're a part of here in this movement and how we thank you as our incredible allies. You know, when you think and when you trace the origin of the gospel of how God revealed himself to the world as Jesus Christ, it's really quite remarkable. I mean, why would God choose a remote and obscure outpost in civilization at the far reach of the Roman Empire, the city of Nazareth, a deplorable place, an armpit, to reveal himself? And for the first 30 years of his life, he was in obscurity. But in the subsequent 3 years of his life, he transformed 12 men, these obscure men, from this remote place in civilization. And that's where the transformation began, because as they saw him crucified and resurrected, that was the beginning of the most powerful movement in the history of mankind. And today, the movement is on every continent of the planet. In Africa, there's a fourth of the believers live in Africa now. A third are in South America and North America. An eighth are in Asia, and that's widely disputed because they do not know how to count the millions and millions that are underground there. And the remaining quarter is in Europe, which less than 100 years ago had two-thirds of the believers on the planet. And it's still the most rapidly growing faith, and it's because of transformation in obscure places. And Ransomed Heart is an agent. It's a ministry of the transformation of people in obscure places. As the gospel, as we know, it's under constant sabotage by the enemy, mainly by the religious spirit. And the need for rediscovery, the revival of the true gospel, it's always needing to happen. And that's what Ransom Heart is about. I mean, I take my own story. You know, salvation does not equal transformation. I lived decades in my faith before transformation came in my life. And I think that's really for two reasons. One, I think the church has been swallowed by the religious spirit. And in my own experience, I only lived in one part of the gospel. I lived in the cross, but didn't live in the full work of Christ. Believed in it, but the full work of Christ, which is the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension, that's where transformation occurs. Because when you bring those things in without the religious spirit, the gospel is free. And when you unleash that power, it's unstoppable. And that's how the kingdom advances. And Ransom Heart is all about transformation. And that's what you're a part of. There's no other explanation of how such a small ministry with a handful of people, or less than a score of people, can be transforming people in obscure places all over the planet, thus advancing the kingdom. That's the power of the true gospel. And it's unstoppable. And that's the model that God uses that he's distributed the believers now all over the planet. I think we're close to the end times because the gospel is out there. And he is choosing his people and he is transforming people in these obscure places for what's to come. So a few stories about that transformation. And if we had any number of the team, John, Stacy, the guys come up, I mean, they could tell so many stories. And a few of these stories are stories that I have been able to see. But let me just share a few of them. This first one, because of a man who was transformed, who was in this room, invited this man to a boot camp, really was a quite amazing story. I met this guy at boot camp about a year and a half ago. He has taken this message to the entertainment world of Los Angeles. And he invited me. He said, hey, Bart, come see my band of brothers. And so I went to L.A. and West L.A. where this guy was. And there were about 12 guys. They meet monthly. And these guys were from all parts of the entertainment industry. Some of them executives, some of them actors, some of them just whatever, you know, just all kinds of things. But these guys, just in the course of the night, it was just a beautiful thing to see these transformed men. And they got on a conversation. They had all taken part, been part of stand-up as stand-up comedians at one time in their career. And they were recounting how they deflect, you know, when they're fed by the audience, and they says it's called going blue, where somebody in the audience feeds them something that's really dark and evil, and how they turn it back to light and bring good into that. But to watch these men that are transformed, transformation in obscured places, the kingdom advances. And another man in L.A., he attended his first boot camp, not from ours, but from a group of guys who've been doing boot camps out there for about 3 or 4 years. His life was transformed. He overcame addiction and depression and started leading men in this message. He invited me to one of their monthly meetings, and I thought it was going to be a small dinner meeting with a handful of guys. I walked into a room of 150 guys. From business professionals to former gangbangers. I mean, some of these guys had tattoos from their wrists to their neck. Transformed men. Transformation in obscured places. The kingdom advances. A man we know that has come to a number of our boot camps by the team, his name's Bill. He's an American businessman, and he's done a lot of work in China for the last 25 years. And he came to boot camp, and it transformed his life. And as a result of that, his employees of his companies became believers by the hundreds. In the communist government, they wiretap every conversation he has. They watch him. They interrogate his employees. And they've come to him to ask him to help him solve the social issues in a city of almost 5 million people there. He has a huge platform for the gospel. And now, he's consulting businessmen who are in Muslim countries, and they have no way of measuring this, but countless people being transformed by the gospel in the darkness of that. Transformation in obscured places. The kingdom advances. And all of you, you've been to the Captivatings, you've been to Wild at Heart boot camps. It's a river of transformation of people. International missionaries come from all over the world that have a reach in Africa, in Europe, in Australia, in Asia, in South America, all over the planet. We have priests come from the Catholic Church in Croatia. The chaplaincy corps in our military is being transformed by this message. Just in the last couple of weeks, boot camps in Seoul, South Korea, up in Alaska, in Europe. And there's thousands and thousands of stories that we could tell by the attendees that come and are a part of this. And there was a lady that came from Michigan. She came to a Captivating. Her heart was transformed. She went to Libya to present Stacy's book, Becoming Myself and Free to Be Me, to young women there that are hungry for the gospel. Hungry for the gospel. Transformation in obscured places as the kingdom advances. And then transformation can occur in some of the most remote places. 10 years ago, sent us a very generous contribution to our ministry, and so I went to pay him a visit, not knowing his story, and first time I walked in, I offered my hand, and he couldn't raise his arms because of the Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, that he had, and it began this transition to get to total, he's totally paralyzed by Lou Gehrig's disease. They told him he had 3 to 5 years to live, and it's been 15 years. Every time I go see him, I think it's probably going to be my last time, but he's still doing that. They're making a documentary on his life, and it's really not the story about Lou Gehrig's disease, but it's about transformation in obscured places. Because as he was paralyzed, and he was had a vibrant walk with God and was doing a lot of things for the kingdom and so forth, but his transformation occurred in the suffering of this illness as he read Wild at Heart and Waking the Dead. And he's had a vibrant ministry to men, discipling them in this message. A book's been written on his life, will be published. But his compass is this message: transformation in obscured places. The kingdom advances. That's the model God uses. And it's happening all over the world. And you're a part of that. You're on the front lines of that. As intercessors, that's perhaps the greatest need that we have. Because the assault on our relationships and our marriages, you bring that canopy of protection for us. You're our seals. We can't fight a war without ammunition. That's what you are. You who support us, every person that supports us has a story of transformation in their life. Not just about being a Christian, there's been a transformative work in their life. And as a result, your investment has been a part of the anointed writing by John and Stacy and now Sam, and the presentation of a gospel that is unfettered and set free. Your investment is 1,000x, probably incalculable, of what you're a part of. And you who are here, who have taken this message and started a ministry, and now you're doing the same thing that we're doing. You're bringing transformation in obscured places. So, today, we thank you. We thank you for being with us on the front lines of the greatest movement in the history of mankind. To be transformed and to take that to obscured places. To bring the kingdom. So Jesus, we do. Oh my gosh, I don't have words. I'm a man of few words and I'm speechless. We ask you, Jesus, just let the transformation that you're doing in each of us, let that change us and take it to those obscured places that you take each of us to be a part of this. And God, as we stand together, we're just so grateful for these incredibly great allies who are with us. We could not do it without them. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. So Jesus, as we come and we just soak in some worship now and contemplate what you're doing, the transformative work in us and in all the obscured places, we just have a snippet of what we even know is happening because of what you've done through this ministry, God. We're so grateful to be a part of that, to be a part of this movement that brings your love, that brings your kingdom. So Jesus, as we worship, come. Come, Jesus, come. In your name, amen.
Lingering in this, Jesus, what are you saying? What are you saying? Where do I need hope? You take my hand, you give me hope. Jesus, where do I need hope? Where do you need to breathe hope into me right now? Jesus, we invite your presence to the deep places within us. We invite your presence in our minds. Pray that you would remove every veil that has come over us. You would strip away the veils. The fog, Jesus, we command it removed in your name. We pray for clarity again, and truth and life. Jesus, where do I need hope? Breathe hope into me. Invite your presence to the untended places within us. Jesus, come to the untended places within us. Invite your love and your life to us. We give our being to you to be restored in complete union with your being. We give our existence to you, the totality of our existence, to be one life with you. Jesus, come and speak to us in your name. Amen. That was really cool, Bart, to just share a few of those stories, because, like, one, we forget, and we hear those all the time. Like, that is that's just a little whiff of the scope of this that we're caught up in, and so that was really good. I didn't prepare ahead of time what this morning would be, because I wanted to wait and see what Jesus was doing, you know, and kind of follow where he was going and kind of just be aware of what he wanted to bring, and so this is what he wants to bring to you. Let me tell you a couple stories first. We were on the motorcycle trip this summer, this filming project that we're doing, which initially was built around kind of the model of the Killing Lions films. We're going to release a whole new set of short, beautifully done films around understanding your story, is the theme of this one. And this time, Dan Allender is with us in these films, longtime friend, rides motorcycles, and my three sons, John Dale, on our team. And then the course of this project just got wilder and wilder, and Jesus kept taking it up and up. And we got back from the filming project, and Jesus said, you need to make a feature film of this. This needs to be a full-on, like, 90-minute, like, documentary-type thing that Netflix would pick up and that sort of thing. So that's what we're now doing with that. But in the midst of this, it was one of the most difficult things we've ever done, which is helpful to know, because it lets you know God must be up to something with this. It was like 10 boot camps stacked on each other. It was really, really intense and manifesting in all kinds of ways. But the story I want to tell you briefly is Blaine, our middle son, who is a Navy SEAL in the kingdom. Like, he is a ruthless warrior. He gets it, and he can bring it. And he was getting hammered. And it was coming physically on him. That was the manifestation of it. He thought he was coming down with the flu right in the middle of the trip. And I think it was finally the fifth day on the trip, he just felt horrible. And he asked for some prayer, and, you know, we kept praying for him. But this was something Jesus was actually training Blaine in, because our prayers were kind of helpful, but not, like, really helpful. And he's riding by himself, and we're 9 hours in the saddle, and it's filming, and it's stop, and it's do it again, and it's difficult stuff, and all kinds of things going on. And he's just feeling horrible. And finally, he's like, Jesus. And he's like, interpret this for me. And Jesus said, this is 100% warfare. You're not sick. And Blaine's like, wait, what? Like, no. Like, this came on as like a sore throat at first. And then over several days, it kind of built into this flu. He's like, we tried to pray. And Jesus's like, it's 100% warfare. And Blaine's like, really? And Jesus says, really? And Blaine's like, oh, okay then. Well, I'm going to treat it like that. And by himself, riding his bike on the thing, he shuts this thing down. The next thing I see is Blaine flying past us. We're on a dirt road, mind you. We're up in the wilderness here, and he is standing on top of his seat, okay? Boom! Like, he's fine. It's all gone. It's all gone. 100%, it's all gone. Right? And the key was interpretation. The key was interpretation. Jesus, what is this really? We were with some dear friends recently, and we were praying through some inner healing things. But we were also talking about some of the things I was sharing on Friday night about, man, like, why do you feel so messy so late into your journey? And so it was kind of that conversation around that, but it was also prayer. And we were praying into one thing in particular that felt recurring. And we asked Jesus, and again, Jesus said, about 20% of this is actually emotional and 80% of it is just warfare. Really? Okay. And so we went at it in that direction. Greater relief. Like asking Jesus to interpret your reality is a really helpful thing to do. Like, I just have a sense from him this morning that we are not interpreting our stories well. Not as accusation, but just as that veil, that fog, that the accusation comes in, the diminishment comes in, the confusion comes in. The other data always seems so convincing, right? The other pieces of information. But like to ask Jesus to reinterpret your story for you. Like, where am I now, Jesus? Where am I now? Where are we now in our marriage? Like, you might be misinterpreting, actually, what's going on in your marriage or in your life. And I will guarantee you, you know, 99% of the time, the misinterpretation is always in the direction of diminishment. It's always in the direction of you suck, you know, and you're getting it wrong and you're not doing enough, or this is going down, or, you know, what, right? Like, it won't get better, or right? It doesn't tend to, the misinterpretation rarely tends to be positive. Now, for the narcissist, he or she tends to think everything's great, but asking Jesus to reinterpret your reality, and in particular, Jesus, would you give, I'm going to give you four things to walk away with. And the first one is, Jesus, would you give us a picture of where we are now? And by that, I don't just mean personally, I mean in the world. I mean in this, where are we in the story, Jesus? Where are we in the story? Bart kind of modestly said, gosh, given the spread of the gospel, I think, you know, we might be near the end times. Actually, you're late into the end times. It's very late in the story. And the more that Jesus helps you to discern and ascertain that, the more that like you become convinced of that and he gives you pictures and affirmations of that, that the more it will help you interpret what's going on in your life, in the life of people you love, in your ministries, your companies, your situation. Because here's the misinterpretation. The misinterpretation in this room goes like this. Well, we're just kind of good people. We're good people, and we're doing our best to follow God. Somewhere in the story. Wow, like that'll take you out. You're actually extraordinarily dangerous people. You are unbelievably dangerous. You are incredibly glorious people. You are the intimate allies of the living God. You are the intimate friends of the living God living at the end of the age. That will reframe a lot of your interpretation of how things are going and what needs to be done and how you interpret all kinds of things. We are very near the end, and the pressure is very real. The pressure is very real. The pressure is extraordinary. And if you misinterpret that, you think, well, this is just the pressure at work, or this is just the pressure in our marriage, or this is just internal. This is just my own internal pressure, right? Like that's a misinterpretation of what's going on. The pressure is very real, and God never gives anyone an easy job. Remember that? Because like if you misinterpret that, like oh my gosh. Okay, so the longing, this will be so helpful for you. The longing for life keeps confusing us about the purpose of life. Let me repeat this. The longing for life to be good keeps confusing us about the purpose of life. Because what we do is then we spend all of our energy trying to make happy little life. That is a misapplication of the efforts of the friends of God. Okay? The intimate allies of God should not be spending the lion's share of their time and energy trying to arrange for happy little life. Right? One, because it can't be done. It can't be done. Okay? There's still an angel with a sword guarding the gateway back into Eden. Like, you're not going to sneak back in. And so happy little life is unattainable. Okay? The other thing is, it's like your glory should not be wasted on such efforts. Right? You are powerful. You are his intimate friends. Okay? So like Jesus, like, wow, like reinterpret how I am perceiving things these days. Because I think I got sucked back into that. And then you get and then there's just a lot of anger and frustration and sort of thing of like, why isn't happy little life happening? You know. God gives enormous amounts of joy, but the joy is just like you see in the Lord of the Rings movies. It's the campfire. It's the pause at Rivendell, right? It's that great dinner that you get to share along the way. It's joy in the midst of epic story, right? You make joy the goal, you get so frustrated and pissed at life and God and your spouse, right? You make something larger what you're about. You let him reinterpret, right? And then the joy comes. There's all kinds of scandalous amounts of joy. Just as long as it's not like the point. See what I'm saying? It's like, Jesus, would you give us, here's kind of the first task, would you give us some pictures, stories, something that will help us come back to clarity on where we are right now and what our true identity is, what our true role is. Because when you misinterpret, like Blaine on the motorcycle, he just thought he was sick. And while he was making agreements with, I'm just sick, and I'm going to be sick for the rest of this trip, he would be totally taken out, right? But for Jesus to go, yeah, actually, no, this time this isn't physical at all. Now, sometimes it is. I'm not saying it's always warfare, but you see what I'm saying? And even, like, oh my gosh, just to let Jesus reinterpret your understanding of who you are and your situation right now would be extraordinary. Because, which leads me into the other three things, I'm like, Jesus, where do we go? Where do we go from this morning? And the temptation is, for me, bring it. Like, lay it down. Like, let's do like a full-on inner healing integration time. Like, kick out a bunch of stuff. And like, and you're going, yeah, that'd be great. But the problem is, it's like, then we say goodbye. So what I'd rather do is give you things that you can take home with you, right? And bring into your world. Because if we are living at the end of the Battle of Five Armies, if we are living at the end of the Return of the King, and God gave the world those epic stories at this moment for a reason, by the way. If that's where we are, if we are in the midst of this story of staggering beauty and unbelievable stakes and real conflict with evil, if we are in the collision of kingdoms, then what we need are the resources of the kingdom. We need to tap into, on a more regular basis, the resources of the kingdom. Do not try and attempt this from your good heart. Not even your marriage. Don't attempt that from your good heart. Like, well, I'll just be a little bit more kind. It's a good thing to do, to be more kind. It will be insufficient. Craig mentioned anointed worship. Anointed worship. There's Christian music, and then there's anointed worship. There's worship, and then there's anointed worship. They're not the same thing. And you can just tell by when you turn it on. Okay? You just hit one, like, bang, you are in, and you are like, wow, I'm heading straight towards Jesus. And the other is just kind of inspiring. You know? So anointed worship probably plays 6 or 7 hours a day in our home, even when we're not there. And one of the reasons why is the demons hate it, yeah. Right? So, like, fumigate your house. Like, I'm dead serious. You are at the end of the age. You are in the battle for Gondor. Like, do you understand? Like, you're not doing happy little house. That's not going to go well. And so anointed worship, Stace has got me going to the gym, and I don't like going to gyms. And the main reason that I don't like going to, I love exercise. The main reason I don't like going to gyms is all the television says. You don't need CNN. You need anointed worship, right? And all these people just, like the inundation of the information of the world, you actually, your soul cannot take the constant inundation of the sufferings of the world. Your soul was not made to live on a global scale. Your soul was actually made to live on a fairly small scale, right? That's why you can only care about a certain number of people, right? You can't have 100 friends, right? You can have a few, because your soul just can't handle it. You can't handle 30 best friends. It's not, well, you can't handle all of that. So shut that off in your home on a regular basis, anointed worship. When in your car, like grab your car time back, get that back, play anointed worship. On your iPod, when you are running, right, or working out, or taking your walk, or whatever, like anointed worship, okay? This is going to be, it is so strengthening for your spirit and your soul. Like it literally strengthens you, and you need that strength, okay? And by that, I mean pretty much anything that's coming out of Bethel these days, Jesus culture, pretty much anything coming out of that. So these are like the books we're recommending. I'm now recommending worship. Anything that's coming out of Bethel these days, anything that's coming out of Jesus culture, Hillsong, All Sons and Daughters, Daniel Bashta, I'm just naming a few. Like, if you're not dialed into that, get dialed into it, because it will be very, very, very helpful for you. Okay, anointed worship. The second thing that we need in terms of tapping into the resources of his kingdom, you need soul care. To take the care of your soul seriously. Because years ago, we put out, in a conversation very much like this one, we put out a resource called The Spirit of the Age. If you haven't listened to it, please do. It's called The Spirit of the Age. That was, I think, 8 years ago now, and it's laughable how understated that was. Like, things have only gotten worse. Our youngest son, Luke, is still in college. He's at a really great Christian school, and it is staggering how busy their lives are. Like, we never talk to him, and it's not because he doesn't want to talk to us, because they're always doing something. Like, they just run these kids, and they just overload them with crazy amounts of work, but then all the spiritual activities, and then serving the community, and fighting for justice, you understand that that's actually going to do the exact opposite of what you hope it's going to do, right? They think, like, just saturate them in this, you know, kind of Christian thing. It's like you're exhausting them, and then they're going to get taken out. The enemy will jump in the exhaustion and take them out. That's not soul care. But it doesn't stop with college. I mean, you listen to most people's lives, there is an arrogance and a pride that comes with busyness, because busyness substitutes for significance. They're not the same thing, but they can sure make you feel significant if you're really busy. You feel like, wow, man, we're getting it done, you know? Soul care. I mentioned that John Ortberg's book and Dallas Willard's teaching in it. And Dallas says, the soul needs to do nothing. Nothing. And when I went into my Sabbath time this summer, one of the things that Jesus said to me was, I want you to practice stillness every day. I want you to practice stillness every day. Not prayer, not meditation, not scripture study, not worship. This is a different category. I literally want you to let your soul do nothing every day. Try 3 minutes. Just like be gracious to yourself, because it's going to blow your mind how like unbelievably driven and preoccupied and addicted to go we all are, right? And then go to 5 minutes, and then go to 10. Okay, just give your soul nothing every day. Don't figure anything out. Don't try and hear from God. Like, you literally just do nothing. You just sit outside in the yard or in your office or stay in bed and just do nothing, right? Just literally just be still. Stare at the ceiling, look at the leaf on the floor, listen to the sound of the birds or the crickets or whatever. Just like soul care. So, because that will strengthen you, like worship strengthens you for the hour in which we live. And we need it. We need every bit of strength we can get. Like, we need to be drinking in the strength of God and the resources of His kingdom. And the third thing is prayer. And wrote Moving Mountains this year, which comes out next February. And it may be the most helpful thing we could ever hand you, ever. Ever. Because it is a manual on how to pray and how to pray all kinds of different prayers in all kinds of different situations. Okay? Most Christians learn one form of prayer and they learn kind of a fourth grade version of it. Prayer is asking God to do something. Well, sometimes. Sometimes, yeah, there's a whole lot more than that, right? And the thing is, He doesn't let you stay there, right? Like, yeah, when my sons were young, I got them dressed in the morning, and I chose what they'd have for breakfast, and they didn't have a lot of say in that. But by the time they're 16, you're like, I'm not getting you dressed, right? Get yourself dressed. Get your own breakfast. You know, like, you want them to grow up. And God does that, which is why it's so important that Jesus reinterpret your reality. God does that with us. Like, He's growing us up and He's teaching us to reign and to rule. And so that Moving Mountains is, I think, will be going to be very encouraging, refreshing, and incredibly helpful to you. But one category, simply the category of consecration. The category of consecration. You, on a regular basis, will benefit immensely from consecrating your home. Like, we dedicate our home to Jesus Christ. We bring our home fully under the rule of Jesus. We consecrate everything in this home, including stuff people have given you or stuff you've inherited from family, right? Gadzooks, or things that you brought home from other countries, right? Like, you want to get all that stuff under Jesus. Please, please, you want your home to be a very consecrated sanctuary. So when you get in your home, it's peace, and it's life, and it's joy. It's a place of rest, okay? So on a regular, because the kingdom of God works on authority, okay? The whole thing works on authority. And you have authority over your kingdom. Because when you consecrate something, you get it back into the kingdom, and you get it back under the protection and therefore the blessing of Jesus. Okay? So we consecrate it to Jesus Christ. We bring our communication back under the loving dominion of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because if you don't do this, all kinds of other things are trying to access it, right? So we consecrate our finances on a regular basis to Jesus Christ, okay? Because you're exercising authority in your realm, you're exercising your true identity, you're living in a truer reality, and by getting things back into the protection and love and blessing of Jesus, then you can experience a whole lot more of the favor and the resources of the kingdom flowing into it, okay? So we consecrate our sexuality. We consecrate our sexual intimacy to Jesus Christ and to his kingdom. Because of all the things on the earth that is being marred right now in this world, right? The enemy is having a heyday with sex and sexuality and therefore sexual brokenness and woundedness and that kind of thing. Like to get that consecrated back, wherever it is right now, whatever it is in your relationships, if you can just begin to consecrate that back into Jesus, right? And you invite the love of God and you invite the Spirit of God into your sexuality, into your sexual intimacy. Really, really helpful, really good. Like, it's really good. And whatever your story may be, that will be an enormously helpful thing. Because you are sons and daughters, and you are meant to reign. You are meant to rule. Adam and Eve were given the earth to do what? Rule. And when that mandate is given, it's given to both of them standing side by side at the same time, right? Man and woman together given the mandate to rule, right? So ruling over your kingdom is such a helpful category. And consecration is the first step of that, okay? This is how we're ruling. We're bringing it all back under Jesus, right? And then the opportunities that present themselves and decisions that you're making, right? And relationships out there with others, right? We bring this under Jesus Christ. We bring this under Jesus Christ. And then to do that for your marriage bed, oh, it's so kind and loving. And it brings blessing. Can I just say that it brings blessing? Brings goodness, brings healing, it brings safety, it brings restoration, it brings renewal, it brings newness, right? So that's how you're ruling over your kingdom, okay? And then as Movie Mountains will walk you through a lot of these really, really helpful categories, there's a little chapter on consecration, it'll be helpful, there's a, but learning to exercise your authority over your domain at a time like this, when all hell is breaking loose in the world, right? So as we consecrate things, we bring the kingdom of God here in the name of Jesus Christ. Guys, like we do that when we're going out to dinner with people. We do that before we have a phone call that we know is going to be tough. We, like, in all kinds, we do it with our finances. We do it with ministry opportunities. That's, like, we, having consecrated this, we bring this under Jesus and under his rule. We now bring the kingdom of God here in the name of Jesus. Like, we invoke the kingdom of God over our home, over this vacation, right? Over our anniversary. Over dinner together, over our sexuality. Like, we bring the kingdom of God here. Huge, 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 huge. Many of you practice this, so it's just a reminder. Good job, keep it up, okay? Some of you used to practice this, need to get it back. Others of you, new category. Incredible blessing. Incredible blessing, because what we're asking, step one, is Jesus, would you give us a picture? Would you reinterpret our situation for us? Okay? Step two, worship. Worship. Worship in your home. Worship in your car. Like, if you do it, you know how great it is. If you don't do it, you don't know what you're missing until you get it going for a while. Give it a couple weeks, and then you'll see, okay? Anointed worship, soul care, and learning to bring the kingdom of God into your kingdom through the act of consecration and through invoking the kingdom. These simple steps will do so much to strengthen you and your immediate realm, because you're at war and you need that desperately. Because here's the trick. Here's the trick. The enemy knows this message and he knows it works. And what he'll do is he'll take all the stuff that we give you and he'll turn it into a new kind of pressure. So now you need, like, you hear Lori's story about loving, you know, and you go, oh, that's it. I have just got to be a better lover. And out of your good heart, you'll try that. You need the resources of the kingdom to do that. And Lori would be the first one to tell you that, right? Like, and so I don't want Ransomed Heart to be the new pressure. This is now the new standard, right? And now it's the new high bar. And No. Like, what we need is the resources of the kingdom of God available to us in this hour. Okay? That's what we need. And it's a lifestyle. It's literally a way of life that enables you to receive those things, the help of God, the presence of God, the life of God. Like, it's a lifestyle. Okay? Just like Friday night I talked about praying union. Jesus said, I pray that you would be perfectly one with me. Well, the cool thing about that is, like, as you seek that, it's going to take care of a lot of the integration issues. Okay, it's the resources of the kingdom. The more that you can just tap into God and what he's bringing and giving you in this hour, the more helpful that is going to be. You are not just good people trying to live good lives. That is a dangerous misassessment of your situation. Okay. You'll live under so much shame trying to do that. Like, you are the intimate friends of Jesus living at a desperate hour on the earth when all fury is breaking loose from the kingdom of darkness, and you shine. Paul says, you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life to people. That's who you are, right? And it kind of helps you reassess your situation. And then the more that you're aware of that, the more that you start tapping into every resource of the kingdom that you can make available to yourselves. Okay? I'll pray for us. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. Jesus, we love you. We give everything of our existence to you, Jesus, everything of our being now. We consecrate our lives into your kingdom again. We consecrate our marriages into your kingdom again. We consecrate our homes and work, consecrate our households and families. Jesus, we consecrate the keeping of this weekend, Lord, and the things that you are giving and speaking to us. We consecrate our hearing, our seeing, our receiving to you, Jesus, for total union, total oneness, total union, total oneness with the life of Jesus inside of us. Shepherd and guardian of our souls, we give our souls to you, God, to be filled with the soul of God. Come and be one soul with us. We invite your soul to fill our souls. And Jesus, we utterly release to you the future. Forgive us for worrying about it. We utterly release the future to you, Jesus. We give all things to you now, and we simply stay in you. Armor us with your armor. Surround us with your shield of love and glory. And your angels accompany us now. And we stay in you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.